hear you. We want to see you. Lord, we come to you now. We say, Lord, we love your appearing. Speak to us tonight. We want to see you anew. Save us from all of our own concepts, our own thoughts, and give us a new vision of you and of your church. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good that everyone's back again for the conference. And there are also new faces here. Does everyone have an outline? Does everyone have a little bit loud, he said. Let's read the title and the outline all together. So the one at the very top of the outline, let's read this all together. The true worshippers in spirit and in truth. Again, the true worshippers in spirit and in truth. Let's also read this verse together in John 4, 23 to 24. Let's read together John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. John 4, 23 to 24. Yeah. Yeah. Let's read together. But the hour is not coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. But the hour is coming, and now is. Lord, now, this is this hour. The hour is now. Yes, praise the Lord. Now the hour has come. I'm really glad to be here, and I think we're all glad to be here, because the time is so precious. It's so good in this time we can get to know the Lord more. And the Lord called all of us. It's no coincidence or accident that any of us is sitting here. The Lord has called each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. The Lord, he called us out of all of our occupations, all of our oldness, that we can seek him here. Praise the Lord. And my impression is that in this time, the Lord wants to go on with us in a decisive step. This time is so important to the Lord. You shouldn't think that this is just a conference every year. We have the same conference and again and again. No. This year, the Lord wants to work something new. I think it was good how we heard in the prayers already, the Lord makes all things new. And that's why the Lord brought us here, to make us new. The Lord wants to give us revelation about what he wants to do. And recently, I was often reading these verses in John 4. I read them over and over again. It's good to read these verses again and again and to take this word seriously that the Lord speaks. It's a serious word, really. And it's good to take heed to what the Lord says. What is he saying here? He says he's seeking someone. The Father is seeking someone. He's looking for someone. Who's he seeking? He's seeking worshippers. No, he's seeking true worshippers. I think he could find many worshippers, but the Lord is seeking true worshippers. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. And if there are true worshippers, there must also be false worshippers. We need to be conscious of this fact. The Lord is seeking true worshippers, not just anybody, not just any type of worship. He's seeking true worshippers. And if he's saying he's seeking them, that means they're hard to find. They're rare. He has to seek them. The Father is seeking them. If I have to search for something, then that means it's not very plentiful. And it doesn't mention often in the Bible that the Father is seeking something. I didn't find many passages. I was also searching in the Bible. I didn't find many passages where it says the Father is seeking. That's why this verse and this word is so important. The Father is seeking someone. Wow. That's something special. This should work. This should have a reaction in our heart when we hear that the Lord is seeking someone. Recently, it really touches me. It's occupying me. I want to know whom is the Father seeking. And even more, I want to be such a person. I want to be such a true worshiper. Praise the Lord. I hope that in this time the Lord would gain many true worshippers. How many are here? 250? That means the Lord has to gain 250 true worshippers, all of us. But for this, the Lord has to make us ready. He has to prepare us. The foundation to be a true worshipper is revelation. How do you worship? How do I worship? Or you? Each one of us has our own way, maybe, to worship. But the Lord has a very clear concept. He's looking for something very certain. He's not just looking for anybody. He's looking for true worshippers. And in the entire scripture, when you read the Bible everywhere, the Lord is talking about worship. There are so many passages of the Lord where the Lord talks about worshiping that shows that it's so important to Him. It's not that it doesn't matter how you worship. No, it's really important. It's not that it doesn't matter. He cares. And when the people of God in the Old Testament, in Egypt, when God called the people of God out of Egypt, what was His plan for them? What were they supposed to do when they left Egypt? He wanted that they would serve Him and worship Him. He didn't call them out of Egypt just for them to be out of their slavery, out of Egypt. Of course, that too. But that wasn't His main motivation. His main motivation was that they would worship Him. He speaks very clearly about worship in Deuteronomy 5. And I think it's good if we read these verses. Deuteronomy 12. Here the Lord is very clear and very strong speaking concerning worship. Deuteronomy 12. We can read verse 4 to verse 8. Deuteronomy 12, verse 4 to verse 8. Deuteronomy 12, verse 4 to 8.
Lesen wir mal in der Elberfelder Übersetzung.
Let's read it all together. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes.
Dass jeder all das tut, was in seinen Augen recht ist.
Amen.
This is a serious word. The Lord is really serious here. Later on in verse 13 and 14, he says, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in the place which the Lord chooses in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. This shows it's really important to the Lord how we worship. We can see this already in the Old Covenant. Here the Lord is showing us a principle concerning worship. He says, go to the place that I choose, that the Lord chooses. Often, we just do what we want. What I like, that's what I do, right? That's how we all are. We're all the same. What I like, that's what I do. But how many people ask the Lord what He desires? How many people ask what the Lord wants? We are here to ask the Lord what He wants. That's why we're here. The Lord didn't bring us here just to make us into good Christians or to improve our behavior. That's not why I'm here. Rather, He wants to reveal His will to us and make us all to true worshippers. I believe the Lord that is His plan with us. That's why we need to learn from the Word what He is telling us. Learn to ask Him, Lord, where is the place that You have chosen? In verse 8, He says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. In his own eyes. Whatever is right in his own eyes. We all love three words. I am right. Or even better, if someone says, you are right, that we even like more. I like it when someone tells me, you are right. I have to be honest. We like it. We are all right in our own eyes. We all think we're right. Everyone thinks they're right. The way I worship, that's the right way. But the Lord says here very clearly, not as it is right in your own eyes. We have to say the Lord is right. We should really apply these three words to the Lord. Lord, show us. And then we can say, Lord, you were right. He needs to expose our concepts, change our minds, how worship works. I think all of us think we know how it works. We think we all know how it's right. We all know the Lord. Maybe we grew up with a Christian background. Maybe your father worshipped in this way, so that's how you do it. But who is asking the Lord? Who is asking what is right in His eyes? Recently, I did this very often. I asked the Lord, what do you want? What is right in your eyes? I want to know what pleases you. What satisfies you? What is worship? The Lord shows a very clear picture throughout the entire Bible how He wants to be worshipped. He says, in this place, and I want these sacrifices, not just anything. And He mentions it again and again. And the people always continue to do what was right in their own eyes. Read the Bible and pay attention to this. Again and again, the people want to worship the way they want to worship. And the Lord is always so upset. Up into the last book in the Old Testament, in Malachi, in this book, the Lord only speaks about worship. The last book of the Old Testament, 3 chapters about worship. But He doesn't say, oh, you do it so nicely. Good, well done, I'm satisfied. He says exactly the opposite. He says, what you are doing here, I don't like it. I'd like to read a verse in Malachi 1, verse 10, the second part. Malachi 1, verse 10. Here it says, I have no pleasure in you. Wow, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. This is what He says to His own people. And this is at the very end of the Old Testament. In the last book of the Old Testament, He speaks such a serious word. This showed me we really need to ask, Lord, how do you want to do it? Not at the end that the Lord says and comes to us and says, I have no pleasure in you. I will not accept it. We need to call out to the Lord, cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, show us how we need to worship. It's not about us hearing a lot about how real worship looks like, and then at home we have a method. This is how it works. This will not satisfy the Father, but He wants us to come to Him. Let us come to Him. Let us ask Him. Who knows how it works? It's Him. We didn't invite anyone to come here to preach to us and tell us how to do it. We want the Lord to speak to us, to give us light, to give us revelation. Lord, do it. We really should just lay aside our concepts. We should lay aside our traditions. I think we are full of so many traditions. How do I come to the meeting? I come to the meeting, I sing, I hear a message, and then I go home. Is that worship? Is the Lord satisfied? Or do I come to the meeting and say, Lord, how will you be pleased in this meeting? I think if we all come to appear here with this attitude, then the meeting will be different. Then we have a completely different meeting. How much tradition are we filled with? I think it's good for us to ask this question. What is tradition? Or where do I think I am right? There are so many concepts that we have. Some people think that worship is if I bow down on my knees. I am very humble and fearful. The other person is loud, full of action. Maybe dancing around. Someone else wants to be quiet, meek, patient. What do you think? What do you want? I think we are often so focused upon ourselves. What makes me happy? What do I like? If people say amen a lot, okay, then it must be good. And the other brother says, Emmanuel says, no, don't say amen too much. You say amen way too much. Don't say it that often. Stop saying amen. And the other one says, wants to sing a lot of songs, as many songs as possible, one after the other. Or another brother just wants to pray read. Or another brother just wants to call upon the name of the Lord. I don't want to say that this is all wrong. No, it's good to bow down on your knees before the Lord. Paul said he bowed his knees down before the Father. But just to say amen in the meeting doesn't make you a true worshiper. Just to bow down on your knees doesn't make you a true worshiper. The first thing that the Lord says in Deuteronomy 5 is that, and there you shall eat before the Lord your God, verse 7, and you shall rejoice. Praise the Lord. This is not my concept. Eating and rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Come to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, I want to learn this. Tell me, teach me how I can eat before You and rejoice before You. Isn't that good? Clean up with all your religion, with all your tradition, everything that's just been gathering up, all your church traditions, your church life traditions. We've been in the church life for such a long time, some of us. We should come to the Father and say, Father, what are You seeking? What's our reaction when we hear that the Father is seeking something? What's our reaction? I hope we have a reaction. How do you react? You know, there are another three words that are good. We should say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I want to be a true worshipper. I think if we take this home with us tonight and we say this to the Lord tonight, then we've already taken a big step forward. The Lord says in John 4, after the people of God, the Jews, after they did so many things, He says, now a new time is beginning. Now. The Father is still seeking true worshipers. He says, now. When? Now. Later? No, now. Tomorrow. Yeah, okay, on Wednesday. That's when I'll join in. Tonight, not yet. The first meeting is... I still have to think about what went on yesterday. No, my head is still so full of studying, so full of work. I was sitting at the computer just a few minutes ago. Yes. Now.
Hell yes.
Lord, now. Yes. Now I turn to You.
Yes.
Now I seek You. I hope we all do it. Each one of us. That we lay hold of what the Lord wants from us now. That we ask Him, what do You want, Lord? Or how do we react? Or we say, I don't have any time right now. I have to go ride my bike. I'm tired. It's too hot here. We have so many excuses. Yeah, first I have to see, I have to look and find this and that person. We just got here. Where is this? I'm looking for this person. Who am I looking for? I don't even know who am I looking for. Yeah, who am I looking for? Or maybe I'm hiding from someone. Yeah. Where's the big brother? Let's all hide behind Toby. He's tall. Toby, he'll take care of the meeting. We just all hide behind him. Hopefully the Father doesn't find me. Actually, it's really not funny. We really should say, here I am. Here. I want to be found by the Father. Father, find me. Give me grace that I would become a true worshiper. Train me. Show me what it means to be in the Spirit. This is the place that the Lord has chosen, the Spirit. We don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore today. But the Lord has the same principle. You know, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Otherwise we would be in Jerusalem. Yeah, the place that He chose today for the worship is the Spirit and in truth. Not in some doctrine of men, but in reality. Not in our mind or in our emotions, but in the Spirit. Yeah. When we read it, we should come to the Lord and say, Lord, how does this work? Show me. I want to learn to be in my Spirit. You know, I have prayed this often recently in the last times. Lord, I want to be in the Spirit. Lord, I want to know my Spirit. I think in the next meetings, this will become clearer for us. Lord, how does it work? Give me light. We have to be open also, you know. I think after 2,000 years of Christianity, there are many traditions, many doctrines, many concepts. Don't you think so? I do. And we're not any better than the people of God in the Old Covenant. I don't think so. We need to repent and come to the Lord. In the outline, I wrote down the tradition of Christianity. Not according to the traditions of Christianity. I come to the meeting, I hear a message, and I go home. Every Sunday, I am a true worshiper. I think the Lord has another concept what true worshippers are. Or we have many concepts. Or principles of the world. In Colossians 2, I'll read the verse. Paul speaks here. In Colossians 2, verse 8, he says, beware, like take heed. It says exactly the same like he said in Deuteronomy 12. Beware or take heed, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let us lay aside all principles, all elements of the world. Come, join us. Because there are many principles of this world. I don't want to give anyone a bad conscience here, but I want everyone just to lay aside, to put off, that we receive a burning heart, that we also seek the Father. You know, there once was somebody, a king, and he's mentioned in 2 Chronicles, Josiah, and it really spoke to me what he did in chapter 34, 2 Chronicles 34, Josiah. There it says that when he was 8 years old, he became king. And in the 8th year of his reign, verse 3, so when he was 16 years old, 16, while he was still young, 16. I think most of us here are older than 16. Maybe the youngest among us is 16 or 15. When he was still young, or still a boy, he was still a boy. What did he do? He began to seek the God of his father David. Amen. He began when he was 16 years old, when he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And what did David do? David asked the Father, "What is your will?" The Lord once said about David, he found someone in David. He found one. He found somebody. David. A man according to his heart, after his heart. Man according to his heart. I hope in this time that he finds many like this. What did Josiah also do? And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. These were all places of worship. These were all traditions, principles of the world. And he began to purge, to really clean up a lot, to really see what does not fit to the Father. The first thing he did, he sought the Father. Praise the Lord. I hope this is the first thing that we all do today. Already tonight. Right now. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't push it off until tomorrow or the next day. The next UCO, yeah. There'll be another conference. I'm not so sure. Because the Lord wants to find true worshippers now. Yes, praise the Lord. Recently, this really touched me. The time is now. Now. This should really impress us. Especially now in this last time. You know, I have an impression that the Lord wants to come back soon. And not only is it I who has this impression, but many brothers have this impression. But it really has to do with true worshippers. It's connected to true worshippers. What do you think the Lord will do once He's found such people? He's still seeking, even until today. When he finds them, he will come and reward them. He will be satisfied. Yeah, the Lord really has to change our lives. Not just make us to better Christians. That's not what the Lord is looking for. The Lord is not looking for better Christians. He's looking for true worshippers. Not just in my chamber, but also in the meeting. In my daily life, like we sang earlier, the Lord wants to make us new. He says this very often. I make all things new. Praise the Lord. Let's stop here. Amen.